Let us pray. Merciful God, as we enter this Holy Week and gather as your people, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that united him and all the faithful, we shall one day enter in triumph the city not made with hands, the new and eternal Jerusalem, where with you and the Holy Spirit we shall live with Christ in glory forever. Amen. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, neither the timing nor the manner of his entry was accidental or arbitrary. From the moment that Peter declared him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, he set his face resolutely towards Jerusalem. And he taught the disciples repeatedly that the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the teachers of the law, who will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he'll rise. Everything that Jesus now does in the week leading up to his death and resurrection is a precursor to and an enactment of his messianic role of prophet, priest and king. As prophet, he foreshadows his coming return in glory. He does this by fulfilling the word of Zechariah, who describes the Messiah as standing on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. As prophet, he also anticipates his ascension into heaven from the Mount of Olives, and to which he will return in the same way. As priest, he goes directly to the temple to cleanse it and to foreshadow himself as not only the great high priest, but also the true temple of God, where the one perfect and holy sacrifice is made for the sins of the whole world. As king, Jesus fulfills the word of Zechariah, who anticipates the joy of Jerusalem in welcoming their Messiah. Rejoice greatly, he says, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And all of this Jesus anticipated and enacted so that we might be assured that Jesus is not the victim of outrageous fortune. He is rather the prophet, the priest, and the messianic king promised in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the new and brought to completion when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. If there's one place in the Old Testament that brings together the prediction and the significance of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, then it has to be Psalm 118. Have a look in your Bibles. It begins with a declaration that no matter what the circumstance or the difficulty, the one thing that's certain is that God's love endures forever, that Christ will be triumphant even from death and the grave. So verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say his love endures forever. Palm Sunday is a celebration that anticipates the day when Christ shall return to rule and to reign on the throne of David, having, verse 19, opened the gates of righteousness into heaven itself. And they are gates of righteousness, not because supposedly righteous people like you and I may earn entry into heaven. What a nonsense that would be. But because righteousness has been secured for us and reckoned to us by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 21, we give thanks to God who has answered our prayers for mercy and grace and has himself become our salvation. Salvation is entirely a work of God. We receive it with empty and open hands, having no righteousness of our own. We can only ask for and we receive forgiveness. And the gift of God to us is the righteousness of Christ himself. And though the gift is perfectly free, it has come at exceedingly great cost. God made himself nothing and took upon himself the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And yet we esteemed him not. The very one, verse 22, who was the capstone of God's church, God's kingdom, and indeed God's temple, was rejected by those whom God called to be the builders of the same. And in coming to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, Jesus was fulfilling what the teachers of the law, the priests and the kings of Israel had all failed to do. But what Jesus was accomplishing was, verse 23, the task that the Lord had sent him to do. Little wonder then that it is marvellous in our eyes. Little wonder that we would rejoice and be glad in it. Then from verse 25, there's a prayer of supplication and praise. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Such is the prayer of those who love the Lord. Such is the praise of those who bless the Lord. Such is the joy of those who are receiving their Messiah King to establish his throne and eternal kingdom. For he has made his light to shine on all who call upon his name. And such is the joy of the people that in adoration of their coming King, they lay down their cloaks and branches on the road before him. At verse 27, with boughs in hand, they join in the festal procession. But this is no ordinary king. He's a servant king. He's gentle and humble in heart, and he comes riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And in him we find rest for our souls. And though he was gentle and humble, he's not Jesus, meek and mild. He's the King of Kings who has come to cleanse the earthly temple, which had become a den of thieves, defiled by the money changers and profiteers of religion. And he'd come to replace it with the temple of himself, the very temple that was to be destroyed and raised again after 3 days. The temple where only the high priest could enter into the holy presence of God. The temple where the one perfect sacrifice for sin is offered once and for all. Verse 27, on Palm Sunday, the procession ended at the horns of the altar. And come Good Friday, the altar of sacrifice will have shifted from the temple to Calvary and the cross. Brothers and sisters, as we approach this Holy Week, let us do so with joy, as we anticipate the fulfillment of Christ's work at the cross, his victory over sin and death and his resurrection, and the completion of his glory when he stands again on the Mount of Olives, and then with all the saints in heaven and on earth, we shall declare with one heart and voice, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our Lord and Saviour. Hosanna in the highest. For he is our God, and we will give thanks. He is our God, and we will exalt him. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.